on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, live from Parkway Tavern. This is the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Fenway Toyota. Also by Parkway Tavern, the official home of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. This is your home for the UNLV Rebels. Now with Caleb Herring and Steve Cofield, here's the voice of the Rebels, Russ Langer.
Tony Sanchez Radio Show live, Parkway Tavern, east side of town, the district. Get on down here. We're here until 7 o'clock. No Russ Langer tonight. He's out in lovely Sacramento calling the game for the Aviators in the AAA playoffs. But the coach is here, Tony Sanchez. Caleb Herring is here. Much to get to. A happy recap. Nice win coming out of the gates. And we got a tough game to look ahead to in Arkansas State. But congrats on the opening win, and I know you told the team, hey, this is a big deal. Even if it's Southern Utah, this is a big deal to get that first win under the belt.
Well, it is. I mean, you go into the off season, you have high expectations. You put in a ton of work through spring ball, through the summer, workouts, obviously fall camp, and then getting that opportunity to get that W and feel good about it. It's a big, big deal. So I'm excited. I thought the guys did a really good job in all three phases.
Obviously, the end result was great, Coach, getting the W anytime, but the film sometimes tell a different story. What was the feel like after watching the film and going through and dissecting things?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was good. I mean, obviously there's some things to correct, but I'll tell you what, the one thing that we talked about going into the game was, the things that always get in your way week one, penalties, right? We had one penalty. We're tied for number one in the nation, right, in least amount of penalties. Turnovers. We didn't turn the ball over one time. Didn't create as much as we should, but, we need to work on that, but we didn't turn the ball over. That was really big. And then we talked about tackling in space, and we tackled exceptionally well. So we got to continue to do that, but those three things were the things that we kept harping about. So that was great to see. The effort was really, really good. Offensively, obviously, we came out a little sluggish those first couple series. They came out in an odd front, kind of expecting them to be in an even front, and they ended up switching to that a little bit later on. So that was pretty good on their part. But we relied on the run game and did real well with it. Defensively, our guys came out and they were on fire. We had one mishap early in the first half where they ran seams and corner came off and cover three to number two and should have stayed on one. And they ended up scoring on that drive. But other than that, well, we had the ones and the twos in there. With 6 minutes left, it's 50-something or whatever to seven. Those guys played really well. Got a little sloppy at the end, last couple minutes, but those are things we can clean up.
Let's talk about some overall themes from game one. And you mentioned the run game briefly. Why did it work? Super productive. You had two 100-yard rushers, 143 from Charles Williams, 114 from Armani Rogers. Why did it click? And it clicked pretty early. Obviously, you rode that to offensive success. Why did it work?
Yeah, well, we've been a top 20 rushing offense 3 years in a row now. So, hopefully that'll be 4 years in a row. We returned eight of the 11 on offense. We returned, four of the five offensive linemen. You returned the tight end. So, it's a veteran group back there. Armani's been, signal caller for a long time. So we knew we could have an elite rush game. And, now the key is going into this game is obviously we got to continue to evolve that passing game. But, we're big, we're strong, we're physical. That offensive line is pretty darn good.
You mentioned something after the game that you had looked at box scores from around the country, and there were FBS teams that had trouble with FCS teams specifically running the ball.
Yeah, and we got to be careful. We don't become so much like this. When you run all this fast-paced no huddle and you run all that RPO game, sometimes when you're in camp and you're going against each other, you're just not facing anything physical. You're not facing the power. You're not facing a bunch of double tight zones and things like that. So it just kind of changes your constitution. When you look at the schools that won big upsets, you look at Wyoming rushed for 297 yards. You look at what Boise State they rushed for 200 and some odd yards compared to like 90 something from Florida State. It's a key ingredient to that. You have to be able to be physical. You don't have a chance against those big teams.
Running the ball and playing good defense, always formulas for winning.
Always.
You mentioned the passing game a little bit. Wasn't the feature of last week's game, but there was some things that I think I saw and I think that you looked at film and saw that you guys can build on, namely some of those empty personnel formations and the screen game that looked like some potential for the pass game to get going there.
No doubt. That we've worked a lot on that. And, Armani only threw the ball 17 times, early on we had a couple of, bad throws, and then we had one drop. But other than that, he did pretty well. As he settled down, he did really good. Kenyon came in and threw the ball around. But, we started running the ball so much, and then, the score got so big, there wasn't really, push to throw it. But that's not going to be like that this week. You're really going to get to see that passing game and what we've worked on.
In some of those games like that, when the score kind of gets out of hand, and you have things you got to work on. How do you handle that as a coach? Like, at what point do you decide to let off the gas and kind of just let the game run its course?
Yeah, so our deal was, you know, we talked about it at halftime. We wanted to give Armani two series just so he got used to coming out of the locker room and putting work in. You know, you don't want the first time he comes out of the locker room and has to get back after it being week two, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that was the idea there. Then he got a cramp during that second series. We, at that point, said, all right, he's done it. He drove him down on a scoring drive. And Kenyon came in and did a really good job. So we wanted Kenyon also to get reps with the one. So that actually worked out good. And then we just kind of – we wholesale change. The thing that I like the most is that when, especially on offense, when we changed that second O-line, that's by far the best second O-line we've had. I mean, those guys, man, they just kept on moving. And then, you know, defensively, the amount of rotations we had the entire night, that was big. I mean, we rotated a ton of guys in and out. When you look at the stat sheets the next day, like we always look at, you know, we call it pitch count, you know, and you got guys like Furl Hester that played 27 plays, and you got Vic Vermontes that played 31 plays. And I mean, everybody's kind of right there in the high 20s, low 30s, so that's good because there's only so much tread on the tire, so you want to keep it as long as you can.
I wanted to talk about rotation real quick here with the offensive line, because you got guys rest there and you got to play some of the twos, which is gigantic coming out of game one.
It really is. You know, I mean, getting, you know, Sitakosta out, you know, and then getting Polu out. And the only guy who played quite a bit of snaps was Matt Brayton, but the rest of the four guys, you know, they played half the game. You know, they're somewhere in the, I think their total plays were in the high 30s. So that's good. It's going to be a long season.
The Tony Sanchez Show is brought to you by OurID.com. OurID is giving away $10,000 to one lucky fan if the Rebels score a safety during this season. Make sure to go to UNLVRebels.com/OurID to register for your chance to win.
Time for our first break here on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on the UNLV Radio Network from Learfield, IMG College. Tony Sanchez Radio Show rolling on here, Parkway Tavern in the district. Coach is here talking about the opening season victory. Caleb Herring, Steve Cofield. Let's continue breaking down game number one. I know a positive that Caleb mentioned to me yesterday on a local interview we did, Armani Rogers played poised, and we saw a big positive. He's not trying to bulldoze everyone on every single run. He had a couple of instances where he took a slide, played it safely.
Yeah, he did. That was, you know, we had talked about it the first time he ended up scrambling and taking off, watching him slide. It was kind of funny because on the sidelines, you kind of saw all the guys start to giggle a little bit. You know, they weren't really sure if he was going to do that. So just shows maturity. That was a really good deal.
Yeah, knowing when to slide. I think I saw one of the practices. There was actually slide drills going on. And, I mean, that's something you don't really see every day at football practice, but point of emphasis, I'm guessing.
We, you know what? We did it one time. We actually, because to make fun of it, we kind of brought a slip and slide out one day. And he actually used a slip and slide. It was pretty funny. So just making sure he knew how to slide at the second base.
Yeah, we've talked about it before with the kind of the kids these days. If they don't play baseball, they don't know how to slide. So you got to teach them how to slide.
100%. You know, it's crazy, too. Like, we, you know, the traditional slide, you know, makes the most sense. But then you look at the Stanford game, and Costello goes down, and he slides, and all of a sudden concussed, and he's out for the game. So, you know, we kind of went back and forth between, you know, kind of the diving head first thing and the sliding. And I think it kind of depends on the way they're kind of intercepting you there. But you just want to get to the ground as soon as you can.
So outside of with his legs, Armani, you know, definitely impacted with his legs in a great way. But the other things that he did to affect the game, how would you say he graded out after week one?
Really good. So half the reason you saw that run game go, those are all decisions he makes. I mean, we obviously send calls in and some checks. But there's three different times he got us into big runs, checked us out of a run, got us into a different run. You know, RPOs, just handing the ball off when the defense isn't, you know, isn't giving you the pass option. So he did a really, really good job of managing. I mean, you think about it, week one, no delay of games, you know, no miscommunication, no 12 guys on the field. I mean, his management of the whole offense was really good.
Let's flip to the defense. First of all, let's talk defensive line and the pressure you got on the quarterback getting to the backfield. I think you had four sacks for the game. What do you think of the pressure overall?
Good. I mean, we had four sacks, and I think we knocked him down five other times. So, I mean, he was getting harassed pretty good. And he saw a multitude of guys doing it. Nick Dadashian did a really, really good job of collapsing that pocket all night. You know, we talked about Ray Jackson, did a really good job. I mean, coming from that linebacker spot and triggering, you know, I thought he was really good. And then the guy we talked about all last week that I was fired up about, and he showed it, Jacoby Windham, was outstanding. 1.5 sacks and multiple pressures, not ball batted down. I mean, our guys did a really, really good job up front.
I was going to say, getting his hands up and getting his mitts on some of those passes or interfering with some of those passes, because Southern Utah did one thing very well, which is the tempo that they played at and the pace at which their quarterback was getting rid of it. So to get four sacks on that tempo and the way he played fast as a quarterback is an achievement by the defensive line.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, I thought those guys did a good job. And, you know, and again, that's the first time you've seen us rotate so many guys. So, I mean, you know, we had four defensive linemen that, you know, I think the most anybody had snap-wise was 26. So, I mean, those eight guys rotating in for that starting four was a big, big deal.
So you mentioned the freshman, Jacoby Widman. How many snaps did he get? And obviously now his role is going to change a little bit with Gabe McCoy back.
Yeah, it absolutely will. He played the entire first half and then into the second half a little bit. So I think he was at 36 snaps. And I'll be honest with you, you may see about the same thing this week. So he's going to split time with Gabe, you know what I mean? But it's no different than, you know, Farrell Hester splitting time with Victor Montes. And I mean, our whole thing is that whoever gets the hot hand later in the game, you're going to kind of leave him in there a little bit more. But if we can keep our guys fresh, I mean, these guys threw the ball 50 times last week. So if they come out and do that again, you can, I mean, if you've got, you know, you have front seven and you don't have anybody else behind them, you're going to get gassed fast, you know? That's when you see a team wear down. And we've worn down many a times. And we played good football early. So I think with our depth, it's really going to help us sustain a pass rush for four quarters against a team that's committed to throwing the ball that much.
So you mentioned the linebacker, Rayshawn Jackson, who's transferring in from Florida. So SEC guy, you were very complimentary of him. You almost kind of held back, I thought, a little bit in the postgame press conference. But you were quick to mention that he still needs to work on conditioning. So
yeah.
How does he get in condition? How quickly can he get there? And what did you see where you're like, hey, he's a little out of shape?
Well, just kind of huffing and puffing during the game, you know, coming to the sideline. I mean, he'd be the first to tell you, it's like, oh, man, you know, I'm winded. You know what I mean? It's, you know, you're playing at that high, high level, and you miss, what, over about a week and a half of camp, you know, so that's hard. He'll get in shape just by the maturation of the season. You know, we know he played in the game, so, you know, he got that win underneath him. Actually took an IV at halftime because, you know, we had a handful of guys that did. Our medical staff did a tremendous job. I think we had three guys that got IVs at halftime and were ready to go in the second half, so that's good. Good evolution for us. But he had a good week of practice, and I think just that continual growth is going to help him.
Another thing to build on, I mean, you just complimented the medical staff. We saw games around the country, like Florida State had a lot of trouble against Boise, and Willie Taggart came out and said, you know, I got to consult with the medical staff. We ran out of gas at the end of the game. And, you know, think about the weather conditions last week. It was rough. So for you guys to get through there, and I mean, I saw a couple of guys late in the game come out, you know, little strains or cramps. But beyond that, it didn't look like the weather had much of an effect.
Well, our strength staff, you know, Coach Manuel and the crew have done a tremendous job of getting our guys conditioned in the offseason, you know, in the summertime. And it's hard when you manage camp, you know, you don't want you to be as physical anymore. You know, they lessen the amount of hours. But at the same time, you still got to play football. And it's a fast, physical, violent game. And your guys got to be in shape. So I think we did a good job of, you know, going in the morning, giving a couple afternoons, a couple evenings. You know, we had two, you know, we had two sessions where there was three practices in a row where we really kind of grinded them a little bit and got their wind out of them and then got their legs back. So I think you got to push them to that uncomfortable state a little bit. You got to manage it with your medical staff and strength staff. But, you know, if you don't make them uncomfortable during practice, then the game's going to be rough.
Obviously, you know, the strength and conditioning will come for Rayshawn, going back to him for a little bit. Game reps, I think, are the easiest way to get back in shape because you're going to fatigue quickly with game reps. But talk about the mental repetitions and how valuable it was for him, his experience with Skipper, and being able to pick up the game plan with limited actual live practice out there during fall camp.
Yeah, if he did not come from the system, I don't think he's able to produce the way he was. I mean, in the first game, he walks in and it looks like he's been there the entire time, assignment scheme-wise, you know. So his familiarity with the defense really made him so much more impactful than a guy that, you know, just showed up, you know, a week and a half into August. He couldn't practice at the beginning because he was still finishing up his bachelor's degree. So our whole thing is he had to finish, he had the degree, he had to post, then he had to be accepted into grad school, which he was. So that kind of took a little bit of time. But once it did, mentally he was able to step in. It's just physically getting him in shape.
So let's talk about the back end of the defense. You know, a question from last year, a question coming into this year. They got you deep once. How many shots overall did they take, and how did you guys defend the deep shot?
Well, they took quite a few deep shots, and I thought our guys did real good. It was good to see early in the game they went after Miles Plummer through that big, you know, that big skinny post, and he was able to bat it down. That, you know, there's been times in the past where he's kind of seized up a little bit. He just looks so much more relaxed. You know, Jericho's been around for a long time. He made one mental mistake again, in that cover three, coming off on a number two too early and not staying on one. So that was more of a mental error than a physical error. And then our safety, you know, Evan Oshry played really well in the run game, had a sack coming on a safety blitz, and Drew Techman did a really good job. So we got to continue to go ahead and, again, work on that depth behind him. You know, it was good to see Ham in there, you know, big, young, long corner. He's, you know, almost 6'4". I mean, it was good to see him flip his hips and play. And so there's a lot of guys that they got to contribute, you know, later in the game, and that was good to see, but they got to continue to grow. But the front four, you know, I like them. They're going to get challenged this week.
A lot of times people look at the back end as far as coverage and look at interceptions or pass breakups, but something that I always looked at was yards after catch. And I don't remember anybody from the receiving core of Southern Utah getting loose against the secondary. I mean, everybody, as soon as the receivers caught the ball, they were glued to them. How about the tackling in the secondary?
It was really good. I mean, you know, we had one linebacker miss a tackle on a pass play and got a couple extra yards. But, you know, the secondary did a good job. I mean, first guy there, end of the play. So that was good. We got to continue to see that throughout the course of the season. And like I said, each week it's going to get more and more challenging. You know, obviously you got Arkansas State, then you go to Northwestern, and then you get Wyoming. I mean, it's going to get more and more challenging as we go through the season. So we just got to continue to be fundamentally sound and keep the guys healthy.
Tony Sanchez Radio Show on the east side of town. The District Parkway Tavern is the spot for every single Tony Sanchez Radio Show. We'll be back at Flamingo and 215 location, rotating back and forth. All right, let's go through some of the scores. The first score by Charles Williams, just straight bust up the middle for 22 yards. What happened on that play?
Yeah, just good inside zone, and we did a really good job of just sealing the backside, and he was able to cut back to the right and head right down to the seam untouched. So that was kind of nice.
As you're watching him have a game like this, he had 143 yards, and that was basically 2.5 quarters. Were you even a little pleasantly surprised? I mean, we know he's good. You have high expectations, but that was an impressive way to come out of the gates.
It was. We've seen it in camp. You know, we've seen it over the last couple of years. You know, with us, we knew he's coming. I mean, we saw it a little bit. We saw flashes of it his freshman year. You know, big run he had against San Jose State that went like 70 yards. I mean, when he gets out, he can go. So we know that when he's in space, he's got a chance to score anytime. I mean, he can really, really go. His big thing is sometimes he goes so fast, he puts himself in awkward situations, you know. So just being a little bit more patient, not pressing too hard until something, you know, declares itself and then hitting it. So that was really nice to see him be patient and not just run to the, you know, assigned hole and see the cutback land and hit it.
Charles scored another. Then Armani Rogers had a one-yard touchdown. Then the fourth touchdown, this was a nice play. Talk about the play to Makai Stevenson as he got the ball basically, what, a yard across from the line, and then he yak after that right into the end zone.
Yeah, you know, and that's another thing with Armani. It's a dual screen, you know, so you've got the back swinging on one side, and you get the single receiver, you know, you got the receiver with the trip side. So he's just got to go ahead, and he's got to read the box and count the numbers. Once he sees it, he goes ahead and, you know, nice little easy pass to Makai, and Makai did a really good job of following his blockers. So, you know, your tackle and your guard are going to go, and your center actually are going to get on out and kind of create like a wall, and he just kind of hemmed it right inside those guys and then bent back to the corner of the end zone. That was a really nice. I'll tell you what, Makai looked fast. He shot out of that thing.
I tell you what, like watching it execution standpoint wise, like as a former quarterback, I'm looking like that was the best executed jailbreak screen I've seen. It's rare that you get two offensive linemen to actually make contact on DBs in the secondary, but it worked perfectly. And like you said, Makai did the rest. That was one of my favorite plays of the game, if you ask me.
No, you know, and the crazy thing too, there's a lot of, I don't know, fans know they have the crack back rule now. So, well, they actually call it blindside block. So, back in the day, the lineman could come out on that, and if the corner or safety didn't see him, it didn't make a difference. You just plow the guy over. So now, if the guy's not looking at you, they call it 10-2. You literally got to throw your hands up and like basketball screen them, because you hit them when they're not looking, it's a targeting penalty. Well, not targeting, but it's called a blindside block.
Well, that used to be the most glorious moment in sports.
Yeah,
was the crackback.
I was a great crackback blocker. You can't do it anymore. I wouldn't even be able to play anymore.
Let's talk about the end of the half, because I thought this was massive. I brought it up multiple times on different shows, and I talked to you about this after the game. Let's talk about the stages of that two-minute drill. So you start out, you're very patient early on. So talk about the build to the big pass.
Yeah, so the big thing there was we had timeouts. We had all of our timeouts, so we could kind of play it normal. You know, pick up the pace a little bit, and you know, once you start getting down to that under 1 minute with the three timeouts, then you got to start hurrying up a little bit. So our whole thing was, hey, stay in the no huddle and let's just get it going a little faster, but we don't need to rush it. And again, Armani did a really good job of getting us into the right plays. And two of the plays on that drive, he called himself. So we have the ability to go ahead and let him call the 2 minute. So there's going to be situations where where you don't have timeouts and you got to go, and you don't want to waste time with those calls coming in, you know, so you just go ahead and you point at him, and he knows he's got the call, you know, so, and we've worked on that quite a bit.
So those are the things, like, quarterback-wise, that show the maturation, because 2 years ago, you're not able to do it. I don't care how talented you are, but maturing as a quarterback, you're able to understand the system and kind of understand what you want. Also showing maturity, the deep pass that actually got into scoring range, I think a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, Armani tucks that and runs because there's a free defender coming at right at him. And I don't. He stands in there, delivers a throw because he knows he got a potential big play.
He did. He stood in there. I always say that's the mark of a great quarterback. It's being able to take it in the chin and deliver the ball on time, and that's winning football. You know, you don't want him to do it too much, but winning football. Stevie Jenkins, what a catch. You know, I mean, that kid's a true freshman. Great concentration, and the ball was actually just a tad bit underthrown, a tad bit, not bad. It was a good ball, but for him to go back and have to, you know, jostle with the defensive back and pull that down, that's a big play for a true freshman.
Now I want you to talk more about Jenkins, because you mentioned him last week during the show. Why is he so advanced?
You know, he played at Narbonne High School, you know, really good high school football program. You know, he's got some grit and toughness to him, and some guys are evolved thinkers when it comes to football. He understands the game. He understands defenses, understands offensive concepts. And, you know, that's rare nowadays, you know, to have a kid coming right out of high school that really is, you know, just that evolved, you know, mentally. So he was able to pick up the offense really fast, come on in and contribute right away. And he's been the best thing that ever could happen to Tylee Collins, because they play the same spot. And he saw this freshman come in who was outplaying him early in camp. And it took Tylee's competitiveness to a different level. So now you got two guys who are just feeding off each other.
Tony Sanchez Show is brought to you by Finley Toyota for a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles, as well as no-hassle sales representatives. Come to Finley Toyota. At Finley Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car.
Let's build on that point. This is different, right? There's a different feel here. You keep mentioning that guys who were holdovers are being challenged by newcomers.
There's no doubt. I mean, Julio Garcia grabbed me during camp one time, and he goes, "Hey, Coach." I noticed that, you know, the last couple of years, the freshmen will come in, they're better and better, and they can contribute right away and take jobs. And I go, "Yeah, you're right," you know. But it's true. I mean, you know, that's the thing. I mean, not all of them are like this. Some are going to be a little bit more of that, you know, that normal maturation redshirt deal. But we've got some guys. You know, we talked about Jacoby Wood, and, you know, you talked about, you know, Stevie Jenkins.
The battle of linebacker, too. I mean, it's not a freshman, but if you got a JUCO coming in, and all of a sudden Hester's like, "Uh-oh, I got to get to work."
Yeah, absolutely. And then a guy like Malachi Salou, we actually played him in the four games and redshirted him last year. You know, him and Ray, you know, are playing the will spot together. And, I mean, I tell you what, Malachi's good. I mean, he's a really good football player. So it's really good to see these young guys really start to elevate the game.
Break number two. It's a Tony Sanchez radio show on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Tony Sanchez radio show here on a Wednesday, Parkway Tavern on the east side of town. The District is the location. We rotate back and forth between two different Parkway Taverns, 215 and Flamingo, next week. The coach is here. Caleb Herring is here. It's Steve Cofield. We're going to get to maybe something you missed in terms of receiver play that's coming up here in less than a minute.
Show is brought to you by Cox. Don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more.
So I want to talk receivers. We're definitely going to get into your receivers and their receivers when we talk Arkansas State. But, you know, it's funny. Someone walked up to me late in the game, and they're like, "How many catches did Randall Grimes have?" Everything a receiver does is not just about what they catch, correct?
No doubt about it. There's so much more to it. You know, and his blocking downfield was absolutely amazing. He did a phenomenal job. He had one catch in the game, but, he wasn't in there much. He wasn't in there in the second half. And his blocking downfield was amazing. I mean, it's one of the better blocking performances I've ever seen. I mean, he dumped like 11 guys. I mean, and you know, normally you get called for holding on stuff like that, but he did a great job. His hands were inside. He was physical, chipped up on linebackers, took safeties out. I mean, you know, that's a 6'4", you know, 210-pound guy, and he played like every pound of it.
Well, that's a good sign.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it just shows the engagement he had in it. You know, I mean, again, when you're in a game like that where we're running the ball, all of a sudden the lead's big and you're not going to throw it as much as you normally do, as a receiver, you can easily kind of go like, "Oh, man, you know, this is, I want the rock," you know. And he didn't. He was happy as heck, you know, just fired up on the sidelines, and that's great to see that. That's great maturity.
So let's talk special teams a little bit. Kick return. So where are you right now in terms of kick returner?
kick returner right now. So Tylee Collins will go back there this week. You know, and I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you. I thought it was really, you know, shabby to have someone, one of our reporters, interview the young man who was back there, you know, and taking the safety. I thought that was Bush League. You know, criticize the coaches, not the kids. That was bad. But anyways, you know, Tyree got a little confused out there. You know, at the end of the game, should have taken a fair catch and, you know, took a step back. And, hey, those things happen. You know what I'm saying? They're not the only ones that had an unclean play. But Tyree could go back there, and, you know, we're excited about that. You know, that we got a good unit and didn't get a lot of opportunities, obviously, the other night, which is a good thing. But this is going to be a game where last year Brandon Presley kind of, you know, he hit one, busted to the left, and almost hit the seam on that. So hopefully we'll be able to do that again.
You saw in Arkansas State's last matchup against SMU, they actually gave up a kick return for a touchdown. Do you see some potential there, some potential big plays for a special teams unit?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do with their kicker, because on film he struggled getting the ball deep. He was kicking the ball anywhere between the 5 and the 12-yard line. They got the one return, and then he just started punching it up in the air around the 15. So we got to do a really good job of judging the ball. So if he's going to go ahead and kick it short, you can just fair catch that, take it at the 25. But if he's going to go ahead and not have much hang time and get it to the 5, you want to go ahead and take your shots on that. So, you know, you might not always get back to the 25, but the risk reward, I think, is there. You know, if you go ahead and you pop one, that's a big deal.
The Tony Sanchez Show is brought to you by Finley Chevrolet. Finley Chevrolet is your home for
woo!
Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to
woo!
Finley Chevrolet, located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada's number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads.
So you said it's worth it, right? The kick returns. There was actually a discussion from some media guys today, radio and print, saying, you know what, maybe punt and kick returns aren't worth it anymore.
Oh, is
it crazy?
Well, the most ludicrous thing I've ever read in my life was the punt return. So I was like, that is just like, that is not knowing the game of football. So can you imagine if you let the ball drop on the 20 and they down it inside the 5 every darn time? I mean, you know, you look at the potential of scoring. So there's an actual list that shows you like what the odds you have of scoring when you start your drive inside the 10, inside the 5. So absolutely, the hidden yardage is everything. So even if you fair catch it, balls on punt, that's fine. So one of the biggest things on punt returners is making sure that the hidden yardage doesn't get lost. Because if that ball hits the ground and you're rushing 10 or whatever, or rushing 11, and the guy kicks the ball into air, the team you play against is going to average 60 yards a kick. And all of a sudden, you're going to be behind the eight ball. I mean, it's just, that's not a very good suggestion.
We're going to get to a conversation.
I love it.
Don't hold back. We're going to get to a conversation I had today with Gabe McCoy, who's going to play in his first game this year. That's coming up in less than 5 minutes. We'll also start to break down the Arkansas State game and look around the Mountain West. Impressive week number one for the conference. You're listening to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show from the UNLV Sports Network, Learfield, IMG College. Rolling on with the Tony Sanchez Radio Show here on this Wednesday, Parkway Tavern, hanging out in the district, a minute away from a conversation I had today with Gabe McCoy, who is going to be playing in his first game of the season. Caleb?
Tony Sanchez Show is brought to you by Parkway Tavern. If you haven't heard, Parkway Tavern is your new home for the Tony Sanchez Radio Show and the official home of the Rebels on the Road. Come join us every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for food and drink specials during the Tony Sanchez Radio Show.
Let's set up this Gabe McCoy interview by telling a story. What was he like at practice today? Because he did not play in game number one, you know, eligibility, but nothing, you know, in terms of grades or anything. It was going back to 2015 and him getting the extra year. What happened at practice today?
Well, it was funny. We end practice doing a two-minute drill, you know, good on goods, and it's a thud. You know, you just want to, you know, wrap up and let the guy go, right? And so it's the first play, and you can tell he's jacked up. It's kind of like a game situation. And, you know, Armani throws a swing route, and he comes up and just blasts the guy. I mean, full-on tackle. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm just excited. So
fired up.
You know, yeah, after that, we said, get back to thud. Let's go.
He was a little more laid back when the conversation started. Now I know why, because I actually started with the comment, like, how fired up are you to get out there, Gabe, in your first game?
It was cool for me. You know, I got to see the young guys do good, and I seen our defense, how our defense is this year, and I expect a lot out of us, and I seen that we have great things to come this year.
So what did you see in general on the defense?
I seen that we play fast, and, you know, we don't have a physical team. And on the back end, you know, a lot of years we've had trouble in the back end. I feel like this year our back end is going to be really strong. You know, our linebacker core is very strong. You know, very strong. We got in and out. We even got depth in there. That's something we never had. So I feel like that's one of the most best things, you know, for our defense now heading into the rest of the season.
We're talking to Gabe McCoy here on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. So tell the audience what your role is going to be. Is it different than last year? What's your role?
it's kind of the same. You know, I'm still everywhere. You know, I'm playing in sometime, playing back or sometime, you know. So I'm going to switch it up. But the main thing for me is just doing the most I can for this team and playing anywhere I got to. I go at D tackle. I go at safety. I go at corner if I need to, you know, anything for this team.
So what do you need to grow on? What do you need to improve on in terms of your position and technique?
For me, one of the things I wanted to grow on was just basically learning the game, you know, learning everybody's position, you know, because if you know where everybody else is and you know where all your help is, then that's, you can play faster. So to me, it's playing faster and, you know, on the outside, learning how to pass rush better, getting more faster on my get-offs and everything, and just getting more quicker mentality and also gaining some more weight as well, too.
You can still do that, even as a, we'll say, an old guy. You can still gain more weight.
Yeah, it gets hard, but yeah, especially in camp. So, but I can still do it when I want to. I put my mind to it. I can do it, just like anything else.
That's interesting. How do you keep weight on during the season? Because obviously you're working every day, and then the game you're going to be losing weight. So how do you do it? I mean, do you have a certain caloric intake that you have to meet every day?
I don't know the exact calorie number, but I know it's a lot. I eat like eight times a day or something like that. A lot of shakes in between, you know, shake before I go to bed and stuff. So just going to the D.C. here at school and make sure I keep feeling my body, taking snacks when I go to class and everything. So just constantly eating every 2 to 3 hours.
You have to be careful? Like no junk food, nothing real heavy in terms of carbs?
I try not to be, but, you know, I like McDonald's a lot, so I try to stay away from there. But and every now and then I get back to it. But, yeah, mostly I feel like, I don't know why, but anything I put in my body, I feel like I can still run, even if it is McDonald's. But, you know, I try to stay on the healthier side, though, as well.
It's Gabe McCoy with us here on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. So let's talk a little bit about individuals as you're watching from the sidelines in Southern Utah, and then we can kind of move ahead to Arkansas State. First of all, your fill-in. I mean, this kid looks spectacular. We're talking about a true freshman who's out there. Now you're going to be, you know, in front of him, but the possibilities for Jacoby Winman.
Yeah, I seen him when he first came. You know, he was very quick and very just smart. You know, he just wanted to get out there and do everything. He has a great mindset. You know, and when he came in, he was the first one to want to do anything, want to get extra workouts and everything. You know, he's an athletic kid. You know, he's a lot of flexible. He might even be more athletic than me, but he's going to be a great, great, great guy here in the coming years. And he's going to do good this year as well, helping me out and helping the whole defense. You know, he could help out as many plays as he wants to, too. He's one of those versatile guys, too, as well.
What do you have to learn on the edge when you're young in terms of discipline? Because obviously being an athlete, you just want to go, you know, balls to the wall at the quarterback and the backfield. But there's a lot of responsibility about, you know, protecting the edge.
Yeah, I think for that it's just mainly knowing your place on the defense. You know, that's like I said, knowing your help around you and knowing you got to be. Sometimes you might got to stick on the edge and not run all the way across the field to make a play. So knowing your and keeping your own, you know, 111, keeping your 111, keeping your side and making sure you're dependent on yourself and so your teammates can depend on you as well.
So give me some of your memories from the Arkansas State game. That was a real interesting game. The weather was terrible. Neither quarterback, really could throw that efficiently. What's your memory as a defender against Arkansas State?
It was kind of fun. You know, it brought me back to, like, the old preschool days. And not preschool, but elementary days, playing in the rain and stuff. But, you know, it was a hard-fought game. You know, I felt like it was one of our toughest games we played. And I feel like I had some good things. I also had some bad things. You know, I ended up giving up a touchdown later in the end. So that's something I want to really work on. That's something I really focus on in the offseason is better tackling as well. So that's one thing I'll always remember, you know, giving up a touchdown off a missed tackle. But I feel like we played well, but we're going to play a lot better this year, you know, especially got the new guys that we got in and how aggressive our defense is now.
It's Gabe McCoy with us here on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. What was the tackle you missed?
It was like later in like the fourth quarter.
Yeah, there was a fourth quarter touchdown with a true freshman, Marcel Murray, on the edge. Yeah. So you missed a tackle on that one?
Yeah.
And was that just technique or what was it?
Yeah, it was technique too, but I'm not going to blame it on my hand, but I had like a little casting on my hand and I was trying to grab him. It was kind of slippery. And, you know, I had to have better technique as well and just stay outside. I kind of peeked in a little bit, but my hand just slipped off his chest and ended up just going for, man, two guys behind me missed as well. But, you know, I was the first one to defend and I had to make that tackle. And, you know, I'm looking to make up for it this year.
Well, he's back. So that's one of their weapons. The other weapon is, well, Justice Hansen's gone. So he was a good quarterback a year ago. Now they got another guy in against SMU. He threw 4 touchdowns and 324. Talk about, if they continue to do the same stuff from a passing standpoint, what are you facing with their passing offense?
They got a lot of good guys, you know, big, strong, tall receivers and everything. The running back's really good, too. You know, so we got to look a lot for that and RPO, run pass, all those types of things. But we're going to be all right. You know, we're going to play real aggressive. We're going to do good this year. And I feel like we're going to be real patient with it, you know, do the things we need to do as a defense and not give up any big plays and just basically play a technique sound defense.
All right, good deal. Good luck in the game. You fired up for it?
Sir, I'm real fired up. I'm first game back. I'm ready to run through a wall. Let's get it.
There you go. Let's get it. Gabe McCoy is ready to play, and as Coach Sanchez said at practice today, got a little froggy, a little too excited. It happens.
It does. You know, yeah, it's better to say, whoa, than giddy up. So he's excited. I can't wait to watch him play. He's worked hard. I mean, redshirt senior, team captain, just done all the right things. You know, already graduated, working on his master's degree. I mean, and, you know, he's going to be a big, impactful guy this year.
So let's talk Arkansas State. This is a completely intriguing game. I don't know if it is for you as a coach because you want to win the game. There's some pressure here, especially after last year. You guys left that game a little bit frustrated. Yeah. So let's talk first about last year's game. So the rain became an overwhelming factor in the game, but Arkansas State still tried to whip the ball around pretty good.
They did. You know, they had a guy, Hampson, that had been there for a long, long time. Veteran guy, threw the ball well all last year. And, you know, that was an interesting game. And they came out, you know, early, got the ball. And, I mean, we came out not ready to roll. And they went right down the field and scored right away. Defense settled down after that. And then offensively, we get the ball back and we drive right down. We end up throwing a pick on, like, the 6-yard line, you know, going in. I mean, we were back on, like, the 32 or whatever. Ran a Bruin route and just made a bad decision through the corner route when we should have thrown the hitch. So we turnover there, and then a little bit later on, we threw another turnover, you know, in the second quarter going on in. I think they intercepted the ball somewhere on like the 2 or 3 yard line, right? We threw a lazy fade route. And then late in the game, you know, again, it's a rainstorm, and we end up fumbling a punt. So, man, I look at the two interceptions, the fumbled punt, and you go, like, God, that's a potential of 21 points. I mean, that's a huge swing in the game. And they're a good football team. I mean, they went on to play really well last year. Went to a bowl game. Actually, Reno actually ended up beating them in that bowl game. But, you know, they're a good team, and they've been through a lot. You know, Coach Anderson's, you know, a whole other story. You know, his wife just recently passed away of cancer, so he's away from the team right now. And but they're a proud program, and they're going to be ready to go Saturday.
Last season's game, do you use things like that, do you use things like that to kind of motivate guys to say, hey, you're supposed to be in this game? Do you use that as kind of bulletin board material for your own team in-house, that if we don't turn the ball over, we win this kind of game?
Well, yeah, and we talked to them about that last year. You know, I mean, just the little details, you know, of that game. And our guys, you know, they knew that we let one get away in that game. And don't get me wrong. I mean, it wasn't like a gimme that we'd win that game. They're a good football team. They played really well that night. But I thought we played really well, with the exception of a couple of really important mistakes that, you know, put us behind the eight ball. You know, you eliminate one of those three mistakes, and it's probably a different outcome, right? But at the same time, they made their fair share of mistakes. So, it's a give and take both ways. So, I normally don't do it, but right after the game last Saturday in the locker room, I just set the sights right on Arkansas State. Normally, I let it, you know, marinate for a night, and then I bring it up, you know, when I see him the next time. No, I said, right, you know, hey, you know, oftentimes in life, you don't have a chance to make things right. We got a chance on Saturday to make things right. You know, a lot of different things. I mean, to start the season 2-0 for the first time in 20 years, I couldn't believe when somebody told me that the other day. That's a big, big deal, to beat a quality team that goes to bowl games year in and year out and fight for conference championships, and to get ourselves, you know, feeling confident going into the following week and the weeks after that. So it's a big deal for our program. We talk about 13. You want to get to 13, you know, you got to win some big ball games, and there's a lot of opportunities out there, and this is the next one.
I heard you make the point in the locker room that the work begins on Sunday. It's not Monday. You need to watch film on Sunday, so enjoy this for a little bit. Film tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, it's a crazy deal. You know, I mean, and I get it. You know, you got to give the players a day off. You know, you got 20 hours a week, and that stuff's really important. But if you want to talk about, you know, being a champion, you know, everybody wants to go pro, then act like a pro. And pros, you know, they spend time on their own getting prepared when they're away from the coaches. I mean, if you really care about it, then you're going to watch some film on your own. You're going to come into voluntary lifts. You're going to do the little things that it takes to move the needle for you individually that will eventually collectively move the needle for this entire program.
How is this new quarterback different from Hanson? You know, the new kid had a great game last week, 4 touchdowns. 324 yards.
Yeah, he's got a live arm. You know, the one thing, and it's all respect to him, but he puts the ball in jeopardy a couple of times. I mean, when you get those opportunities, you have to take advantage of it, because I tell you what, man, when he's on, he throws the ball into tight spaces. He's got a howitzer. I mean, that thing is humming. They threw the ball down the field a multitude of times. I mean, they probably took 11 or 12 shots down the field. So, you know, you're going to be holding your breath a little bit, you know, on Saturday when they're taking those shots at that, you know, big, long, talented receiving core. But he's good. He's really good. He extended plays. I mean, you know, they made a lot of mistakes last game. I looked at Coach's press conference and watched the game itself. You know, they fumbled a punt. They had a kick return for a touchdown. They took advantage of some mistakes too. But you know, when to have the opportunity at the very end of the game to win it. I mean, they got the ball. They were on a two-minute drive, and they were playing well. That quarterback did a really good job of managing all that stuff, being a new starter.
So they've got a favorite receiver. He's got a favorite receiver, Bonner. So Bayless had four of the touchdowns, all four of the touchdowns passing. Do you game plan for a receiver like that, or do you just kind of stick with your own defensive scheme and kind of work him in wherever he gets in?
50-50. I mean, you have to know that you got to know they're big guys. You know, their tailback and him are the two main guys that we've been talking about. You don't really game plan for a running back. You're just kind of trying to shut down that run scheme. But for receivers, you got to be cognizant of what they're trying to do with them, where they're lining them up. Is he in the slot? Is he in the outside? Is it a cut split? Is it a wide split? You know, do you need safety help here? And so there's a lot of different things that you have to do to try to, you know, take some pressure off your guys on the outside.
The Tony Sanchez Show is brought to you by Finley Toyota. At Finley Toyota, we speak 14 different languages. No matter how you say it, you'll always get a great deal at Finley Toyota.
What do you expect defensively? And off of last year, what'd they do against Armani last year? Did they have a spy on him? Because he went crazy on the ground. He had over 180 yards rushing. I'm guessing they're looking at the film from last year, and they're like, we are going to let that happen again.
Oh, I guarantee they're talking about that. I mean, he had a great game against them, and a lot of the runs last year, well, not a lot, but I'd say at least half of them organically happened. You know, pass protection breaks down, he takes off. I mean, that first down we got, I mean, he gets hit right in the chops and, you know, shakes it off and takes off for about 40 yards down the field. So they're gonna come after him. They hit him too many times last game, and it wasn't just him running the football. I mean, he got – even when he was throwing passes, I mean, it seemed like he was always on the ground. They were a real physical football team, and we're expecting the same. So our old line's got to do a little bit better job of protecting him, right? We've got to make sure that we can establish a run game. We ended up running for a lot of yards, but not with our running backs last year. We got to make sure that we're able to hand the ball off and take up some chunks, you know. And I know early in the game they'll be a little stingy, but we got to continue to lean on them. But, yeah, they're definitely going to be spying Armani. And the thing that, you know, is going to be interesting is our receiving core, from what I've seen in camp, you know, the new faces, the guys returning, we're by far more talented than we've ever been depth-wise. And those guys got to have a great game. I mean, I think when you look at the matchup and say, what are the key factors, our receiving core versus their receiving core.
One final break, and then we come back with a little defensive talk about some specifics on the Arkansas State side. It's the Tony Sanchez Radio Show from Learfield IMG College. Down the stretch, Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Big game coming up this weekend. Get your tickets. Arkansas State revenge spot for UNLV. This is a pivotal game in the season to get the 13, not 6. Not
that's
6.
Right. That's right.
Tony Sanchez Show is brought to you by Sync My Game. How would you like to be able to listen to us on the radio while synced up with your TV in the comfort of your own home? Go to syncmygame.com to find out how.
So, you know, when we talk football, I really like to concentrate on defense because obviously that, you know, that's going to be one of the big keys to success this year. And I sat there last year in the rain and watched a guy who's just a freaking fire hydrant on the Arkansas State side. Forrest Merrill, who's, I don't think he's 6'1". He's probably about 5'11". He's 340 pounds. And, man, he gave you guys a time last year in terms of, you know, trying to run anywhere between the tackles.
Yeah, he was the son of a gun. I mean, he lined up right over the center, you know, and he gave Sid fits last year. And it's a matchup we've talked about all week. Sid's done a phenomenal job in the offseason, had a great game last week. That's going to be that'll be an interesting matchup right there. But we got to do a good job of taking care of him. We cannot allow him to run reckless like he did last year. And if we can deal with him and handle him, and, you know, at least most of the time, then that'll really open up the offensive run game.
You guys both played the game in college. Like, you're aware of matchups like this, right? Like, if you get a chance to go back the next year against the guy you had a tough time against?
Without a doubt. You have to be. I think, like Coach said earlier, it's rare that you get an opportunity for redemption, especially against the team that, you know, took it to you last time. So if you have this matchup like Sid Acosta can have, you definitely are licking your chops to get some get back.
Sid got some honors from Pro Football Focus. Is actually doing a pretty good job now covering college football. And Sid was the center of the week for the Mountain West Conference. Charles Williams was the running back of the week. But like you said, Sid just, he had a great game.
He had a dominant performance, did a really good job. I mean, we had 56 knockdowns on the offensive line, and he led the way. So he did a really good job. So excited to see him go compete this week. It's going to be a heck of a matchup with those two.
Real briefly here, we got about 90 seconds left. What'd you see around the conference? That was a good opening week. You know, we have to pat Reno on the back. It was a good win against Purdue. I know you don't like to do it, but That was part of a big week for the Mountain West Conference.
It was. You know, Reno's win over Purdue is a big deal. You know, Wyoming, what a big win over there against Mizzou. You know, you look at Boise State, and what a gritty deal. I mean, they're down big, and for them just to turn to run on the rock and win that game on the road at Florida State, that's a big deal for the conference. Hawaii in week one, you know, winning. And I think there's going to be some more upsets this week. You know, I mean, it'll be interesting to see Hawaii and Oregon State. And, you know, we'll get our chances here in a couple of weeks. We'll start Saturday. We got to get a big one. But the conference is good. I mean, it's all the way around. It's shown real well.
And like you said, with some of those wins, there was a physicality about it. It wasn't, you know, some kind of junk offense and throwing 75 times.
No, I mean, that was the biggest takeaway, you know, that I got from, like, especially Wyoming and Boise, was they were just more physical, you know, and they were able to run the ball when they needed to run the ball, and that was the difference in the game.
Arkansas State on the way on Saturday. Make sure you get your tickets. It is 80s night.
80s, there you go.
Icky Woods is the honorary captain. Icky is going to be signing autographs out in front of the stadium at the tailgate from 4:30 to 6:30. You get a chance to talk to him? He's a pretty unique character.
He is. I walked around the new facility with him, and he's funny. He was all fired up, though. So we got to get him to do the Icky Shuffle.
I was going to say, is there any chance he does it, or is there any chance you bust out the Icky Shuffle?
Not me, but you know, we have a big score. We have a big score to go up. I'd love for him to just run on the field, get a 15-yarder doing the Icky Shuffle. I'm just kidding.
This is a cool concept, isn't it? I mean, I love, you know, it looking is. Back and honoring the guys.
There's no doubt about it. It's great bringing our guys back. We've had some great players playing at UNLV, and the more connected we can get our, you know, our players with the current guys, the better.
All right, Coach. Good luck in the game. Arkansas State is on the way. That'll do it for another edition of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Next week, we go back to the Parkway Tavern on the west side of town, 215 and Flamingo. You've been listening to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show from Learfield, IMG College.